10 o'clock hour of Wildy's House begins now. And it continues with Tausch's story time from the graduation party.
So, Jason, before I get back into that, is Jordan Love going to lead with his head or with his heart?
First of all right, so I'm going to answer a question with a question, which I know irritates you.
Would you agree with the guy that we took the photo with that Favre led with his heart and Rodgers led with his head?
Not entirely. You
Why
played
not?
With both. I think Rodgers cared about his teammates a lot.
No, I'm not. I'm not arguing that. That's not. But when you're talking about,
I think when someone says that to you, though, I think that that sounds a little bit like, you know, he led with his heart, and it was he cared so, you know, he loved the game and he cared about.
It's
you know,
not
his
a
guys.
Shot at it. No, I would look at it. It's not a shot at Aaron.
All right, help me understand what it means then.
Well, I'd have to go. He's going to have to go in the YouTube chat and tell. But I think it's more of Brett played more on feel and probably more on emotion than Aaron did. I don't think that's saying anything out of turn. I think Aaron Rodgers was much more meticulous, and I think he understood. Brett Favre didn't understand nickel defenses in the beginning of his career. Like, I just think Aaron looked at the game more from a cerebral standpoint, and Brett did it more from – and this isn't a shot at Aaron. Like, he didn't have any heart. Of course he did. But it is – I think it is a difference because you have to pick one or the other. They both brought both to the game. I mean, as Brett got older, he knew where he was going with the football before the ball was snapped. But – I think fans would agree that that is the case. And maybe I think you're being a little sensitive to the fact that I said that about Rodgers, and it isn't a shot at him under any circumstance.
Well, I would say that folks look at Rodgers as clinical, precise, demanding, sometimes overly demonstrative when he was unhappy. Which I would be the first one to say that that was not a great quality. Like, I don't think anybody wants to be shown up on the field. And you can play some more music for us. I don't think that that's viewed as a positive quality. Now,
what's not viewed as a positive?
When you are showing guys up on the field. Like, you could be demanding, but when you throw your arms up and stuff like that, that's not... That's not leading with your heart. That's leading with frustration.
Okay.
I would be curious if your new friend, who's now a subscriber to the YouTube channel and the podcast,
he's a subscriber like I subscribe.
Oh, so sure, yeah.
Maybe I didn't get it all ordered up right. I know he's a podcast listener now.
Is he more of a Favre guy than a Rodgers guy?
No, I didn't sense that. It was okay. More, I think that there was an appreciation for both, but. I feel like you're sensitive about this, and I didn't think it was.
I'm not. I don't want what I'm saying is that I do think Rodgers presented a very clinical approach,
surgical.
Right?
Like it,
right,
he's much
and it's
more
not
surgical.
And it's not like he didn't show emotion, like when you know, in the win in 2013 in Chicago, he's jumping around like a crazy person after he throws the touchdown. To Randall Cobb. In the win in 2016 in Dallas after Mason Crosby makes the game-winning kick after the pass to Jared Cook, he shows plenty of excited, happy emotion. The Hail Mary in Detroit. But I do think people view him in comparison to Favre as not being sufficiently heart, lead with your heart-ish. That's what I'm saying. And I don't think I'm wrong about that in terms of how he's perceived. Like, yeah, he's just the old John Madden line. Oh, he's just having fun out there. Yeah, and sometimes that worked out great. Like when he ran when he wasn't supposed to in the last game at County Stadium and he scored a touchdown to send them to the playoffs when Holmgren said, under no circumstances, don't run because we don't have any timeouts left. And they won the game, and they went to the playoffs. On the flip side, you know, I'm not sure that always not being detailed worked out, right? Or however it may have played out during the Brett Favre era. It's not a sensitivity. It's I want to understand what the mentality is behind that comp. And then I have no idea where to put Jordan Love because I don't think he's anywhere close to, like, how much emotion do we see with him? To what level do you think
he
needs?
Would be? I don't would be see more that cerebral. Much of that. I think it's going to be more of a cerebral. That doesn't mean he's not going to do the fist bump and all this. The pump in the fist. That's not what I think. There's going to be emotion, but I think Favre was probably did too much sometimes on emotion, and there's a balance that you have to find on both sides of it. You can't be robotic. Nobody is saying Aaron Rodgers is robotic. I can promise you that.
Right.
But when you're comparing to Brett and the firing the ball underhand, jumping up on people and getting yelled at for tackling people early in his career, I don't think he was the same way as he got older. I think he mellowed out and was more cerebral as he got older. You have more emotion, I think, as a younger player because it's harder. I don't think you know the game as well. And you better be more cerebral as you get older in this business because that is part of getting the elevator and up and making it as equal as you can.
So did Favre ever become more cerebral and you felt like he was
Was cerebral most of the time I played with him. I missed the, back when he was whipping it around. Like he still had that, and I think where you started that path and what kind of made me feel like you're being sensitive about it is, like, to act as if Aaron didn't form relationships and have a passion for the game, that is not what I'm saying. You're comparing two things, and I know that you don't like comparing things, even though you do a sports talk show. When you look at it, Brett's up here from a emotion because some of those moments, that's what you recall, and fans view it that way. Perception isn't always reality, but I think in this case, if you're asking me who played the game more from a cerebral mindset and who played the game more from a heart and what he thinks, I can fit that ball through that window. Aaron thought he could fit it through a window too, but it just was – he was going to be more precise, like, well, the wind is blowing here. I got to do this. Brett just like, I'm just going to whip it through there.
Sure. And I think what I – my concern is that I think everyone looks back on Favre's career with these kind of sepia-toned memories of how great it was.
What's a sepia tone?
Sepia tone is like the kind of the brown and white pictures. They're old-timey pictures, and you think back to a historic time, like of Lincoln. Or they're brown and white, and they're these memories.
All right,
that
I've been around a long time, and I
never
love
heard sepia toned.
No,
you're not as well read as me. So here's the thing:
I have a master's degree, so I don't know if I could agree with you on that. I would say, Hunter, have you ever heard of the term sepia tone?
Yeah, but I don't.
Of course, yeah.
Well. Tausch, I was just going to say, I also got a degree in radio, TV, film. Like, yeah, I've heard of that kind of stuff. So
right.
It'd be bad if I didn't.
So my point is that I think we romanticize how we think of Favre and his leadership and how he played the game. Because, look, just having fun out there, it wasn't fun in that playoff game in St. Louis, right? And for all the people that look at Aaron Rodgers and say, oh, he didn't win enough Super Bowls, I don't feel like people say that about Favre. I feel like they say it about Rodgers because they have
Jason, if we're being honest about it, who had more talent? Who had more opportunities to get it done, Brett or Aaron?
Brett got to a second one.
I know. He should have won two. But I don't think there's any. Obviously, we had the fourth and 26, the NFC Championship game. There were other opportunities. But Aaron Rodgers, I would argue, had more teams that were probably Super Bowl winning caliber rosters than Brett Favre did. if we're looking at it realistically.
So again, this is what then is what I'm trying to get at in terms of the leadership. Like, do we think of him as a better leader or just a different leader?
Different. I don't think anyone is
for you as a player.
He was not looking. My guy, my new YouTube fan, was not looking at this from a he stunk and he didn't. He was just making a point, and I thought, really interesting topic. I love
it.
Content is never content. You can use that. Content is never content. That's Pat. That's a Pat quote. I think both guys led in different ways. Neither of them, I think, would be looked at as this was bad, this was good. It was different, though. They were not the same. There was a lot of differences in how they approached things.
Fair enough. The reason why I think it's a great topic. I'm actually really intrigued by it. On the flip side of it, I don't know, and we can talk about this next while I drive to the airport. I don't know what kind of leader Jordan Love is. I'm super intrigued because the whole discussion about him has been about his leadership style and that he needs to be more vocal.
And who is the one that's directing that narrative?
Matt LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur said Jordan Love isn't vocal enough. He said that?
As an avid reader of Channel 3000, as I know you are, I recapped what he said after the season. Because remember, the question we asked him was very clearly, what does Jordan need to do better for you guys to get to where you want to go?
Okay.
And the idea that his answer was, and I quote, evolve as a vocal leader. He didn't say he's got to be more accurate. He didn't say he's got to run more with his legs.
He does need to run more with his legs.
He does. He didn't say he's got to take fewer chances with the football.
I would agree with that, too.
He didn't say any of those things. The first thing out of his mouth was, and I quote, evolve as a leader.
Yeah.
And then that quote continues. I think he can really demand a lot because the locker room respects him. And they respect him not only as a person, but by the work he puts in. One of his best qualities is that he is one of the guys. They all respect him. But I think when things aren't quite right, I think he can voice that as well. When guys aren't quite doing what they're supposed to be doing, he's one of the guys to talk about that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Well, it sounds to me like he doesn't do that enough. That's why he's saying it that way. I just think it means more when it comes from your quarterback than when it comes from me or one of our other coaches. So to me, when he said that, the implication was he doesn't hold guys to account frequently enough, and he lets the coaches do it. That's what that sounds like to me. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not in the locker room. I mean, obviously.
Neither am I.
Yeah, you are.
Not when he's correcting guys, I'm not.
So, I mean, you felt strong. I just think that that's such a easy narrative, and you have to earn that. He has earned that, but again, it's about being who you are. And Jordan Love, the quarterback position demands a lot. You have to hold guys accountable. But this concept of him needing to be up in guys' faces and doing that – if that's not who he is, then he best not do that. If that's who he grows into being, great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would think that this is going to be, you know, obviously a big year for Jordan. He's proven the fact he is one of the guys. There is, at some point when you become the big boy quarterback that we all want him to be, things do change. You become that guy nationally, and it changes, and you already are hearing young players say, that's Jordan Love. And it's not to the same degree of Rodgers or Favre, but as he has more and more success, that is another thing that he's going to have to work through. He's not there yet, though.
All right. I want to talk more about this. And since the timing of my airport run has turned out to be a little bit off, the girls are already at their at the baggage claim. I will join on the phone on my drive to Austin Straubel Airport to continue this conversation. because here's one instance that I want to get to. Both Josh Jacobs and Jaden Reed said Jordan Love is doing one thing more than he was doing previously, already in OTAs. How's this for a tease?
Sounds pretty good.
I'll tell you what it is from the car next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wilde and Tausch rolls on as I roll to Austin Straubel International Airport. International, because I think they have a couple of flights to Canada each day. Pick up Paula and the girls. So, Tausch, the point that I would make a big statement about is what Josh Jacobs and Jaden Reed both talked about, and that is that in their meetings, they have both noticed, now they're both smart guys, so I'm sure they're also aware that this was going to be a narrative of some sort, so they were prepared for questions about this, I'm sure, but that he is pointing more things out in meetings. If something, you know, if someone's misaligned as he gets ready to run a route, or if there's a protection adjustment that is missed, he is speaking up more, according to both Jaden Reed and Josh Jacobs. So take us inside one of those meetings with Favre or Rodgers and help us understand, how does that work? What is the responsibility of the quarterback? Because that's what my point was when talking about what Matt LaFleur said after the season, is that it sounded, the way he was talking, as if Jordan Love was more likely to sit in the meeting and allow the coaches do the correcting instead of him. And I don't know if that's the way Favre and Rodgers were, or if that's how Rodgers was early on as the starter and you and a bunch of other veterans were around him in 08. So give us an idea of what the dynamic was with those two guys and then how that might compare with what Jordan Love needs to do more of.
So, you know, typically the offensive coordinator gets up in front of the room and you go over a couple of plays, and then the offensive line breaks out and the receivers and quarterbacks stay together and they'll go through their route stuff. And while we'll go in and look at protections and run game and stuff like that. So all I can tell you is there are times when you have the whole team together and you'll look at plays. And then there's times when you just get together as an offense, and it always is going to mean more when it comes from the player. You know, Tom Rossley could say something, Jeff Jagosinski, Joe Philbin, you got to have this depth, you got to have this. But when your quarterback is basically going to say, and I think it's actually more so, and I saw more of it on the field, whether it was a jog through or an actual, you know, 7-on-7 or just regular 11-on-11, when you get back and your quarterback is going to say, if you don't get to this depth, I'm not going to look your way. Or this is what you need to do. And if you're not doing it and you see that pattern happen more than once, that's when you start getting into issues. So it always means more coming from the player than from a coach. And I think that's the evolution, because it is not an easy thing to look at and go up to a Jaden Reed or guys that you have played with. And if you're going to sit there and say, you're going to get after a guy, the player has to respect that and move on. It can't be hurt feelings and, if you'd throw the ball here, it's got to be, yes, sir. Yes, I have to do that. And when you get to that point, that's where the player really has to understand the other player. And that's why forming relationships in the offseason and getting it so you know who these guys are, that's why that part of this is so important and why you see such a push for chemistry and things like that, because it can't just be lollipops and rainbows. There are tough conversations that have to be had, and you have to be willing to have them, and it is more meaningful than if it's Jagosinski saying it 15 times or if Jordan Love says it once.
So is it different when it's a quarterback with as much accomplishments as Rodgers and Favre, because, you know, we were talking about this late last week,
it is.
Right? And you made the comment about how you played with those guys, and that was different than what it's going to be like to play with Jordan Love and this leadership thing. So what does Jordan Love have to overcome then? Because I would think when Aaron Rodgers with 2, 3, 4 MVPs, or Brett Favre by the time you were playing with him with 3 MVPs and a Super Bowl title, it's a little different than if you're playing with Favre in like 1994 and Mike Holmgren is constantly frustrated with him throwing rocket balls and, you know, improvising, or Rodgers in 08 when he's trying to kind of take control of the team following Favre.
The resume always matters, and I think you have to earn it. And when you're going to be a leader and you're going to be critical and you're going to demand, you have to be, you don't have to be perfect, but you have to also be willing to take that critique. And you have to also understand when you're doing that, you're going to be held to a higher account. I was very fortunate that I had quarterbacks that did that and understood it and could also demand it. You can't do that as somebody that doesn't have the pelts on the wall. It's just different. So, yes, your credibility, and you can be a really good leader and not be the star player. But as far as quarterback and holding guys accountable, if you're sailing throws when guys are at the right depth and you're sitting there saying, "Oh, you did it," no, you need to perform. And when you do that, you're going to get the buy-in from your guys, and that's when you start getting the growth that you're looking for. And that's where I think Jordan this year needs to even be better and more consistent, so that his messaging and how he leads is going to line up with what you're looking to get out of this offense.
So you and Jordan are both brand ambassadors for American Family Insurance. He was at the AmFam Championship last year. Was it last year that they announced their partnership? So if he shows up at TPC Wisconsin after the OTAs before the minicamp next week, and he says, "Tausch, I heard you and Wildy talking about leadership. You've been there. You've done that. You were around Favre. You were around Rodgers. You played with both of them. You saw their leadership styles. Give me some advice, because I want to be a good leader. You know, LaFleur's making a big deal about me being more vocal." What would your advice be to him?
Be who you are. Don't get caught up in speaking and, you know, trying to be who you think you're supposed to be. You just need to be who you are. And if you do that, everything else is going to fall into line. The last thing you can do is have any sense of phoniness or inauthenticity. Once you do that, everybody sees through it. So don't try and be somebody you're not. Make yourself better, learn some lessons, and make sure you're accountable and you hold your guys accountable. All of the other stuff is just window dressing. Having guys understand what they need to do, how they need to go about it. You show every day how you practice and demand your guys do the same. You show that you know every route depth, what happens versus different coverages, what the protections are. Having everybody on board, and then you can add, you can ask other people when you show that you're holding yourself accountable. Everything else is just kind of whatever. That's how I would respond to that.
Yeah, and I don't know. Neither one of us have played with him, certainly. But in my being around him, like, one of the things that I would say about him is that I don't think you would ever have to worry about him being someone he's not, or more simply, like, not being prepared himself and then demanding something of others that he's not demanding of himself. You know what I mean? Like,
That's maybe why he hasn't been as vocal as he's been, because he, just because you're quarterback and you've watched Rodgers play, you got to go out and do it. And I think until you have that confidence in yourself and you feel secure about what you're doing, how on earth are you going to sit there and ask others? So it's not as easy as just snapping your fingers. I'm a leader. I'm the quarterback. Oh, this. You have to do it. And you have to have confidence in yourself to do it, because it ain't easy to get up in front of a room and ask guys for, you know, to be exact on stuff and to do. So that's the part of this that I think you have to let it grow. And I think the process, from what Matt LaFleur is saying, is you're grown more than maybe you think. You can reach out. You can do more than what you're doing because you've proven to the point that you can.
So did Rodgers do that right away? I mean, he ascended to the starting job in 08.
He did
we
not.
We know what
no.
his personality is. So what did that look like for him, and when did you see that change with him? And could that be a kind of roadmap for Jordan Love? Was it year three when you guys went and won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's not a roadmap, man. There isn't like, all right, you got to get off. This isn't you always say growth isn't linear. None of this stuff is linear. You have to find your way. And it might be 6 years. It might be 2 years. And maybe it's not, well, you're in the third year. You got to do this. Obviously, experience helps with the process. But this isn't like, all right, it's not like a honey-do list. All right, check this off. Oh, well, you completed this many mm-hmm. passes. All right, now you can. That's not how this should be looked at. It's not how it's viewed. And I think demanding and asking for a player to do certain things, you don't want guys just to stay the same. You want guys to take those next steps, but it's not just because you're in year three you need to do this. That's not how this works. And that's why I would say, yes, you want to ask and demand, but to sit here and I think really try to enforce and say, this is how it has to look, I think you're probably doing a disservice doing it that way.
So, but do you think it was the right thing for LaFleur to make this? Because he's the one, again, you asked me the
narrative.
Well,
do you think
it
was?
He's the one who made it the narrative.
Do you think it is?
I think my honest opinion is that I think he didn't want to criticize any of Jordan's performance. And so he was looking for something a little harder to define than all those other specific, you know, accuracy, running the ball more, whatever it might be. And again, I don't know this. This is just the feeling I got, is that if he'd have known that we were going to latch onto it as much as we did, because Jordan got about six questions about this last week.
Five of them were from you, yeah.
No, they weren't. Only one of them was from me, in fairness. But be that as it may, if he'd have known it was going to be such a talking point, I find myself wondering if he
if your theory is accurate, which, you know, you have some theories that are, some that aren't, is it
right?
Is Matt LaFleur is he afraid to be hold Jordan Love to account on, hey, I can't have you throwing 61.5% completion? Why would he not just come out
again,
and say what he wants him to be better at?
Yeah, again, when he was given the opportunity last week to say, hey, he needs to be better at this, that, and the next thing, instead he pointed to the drops, he pointed to the injuries. So I don't know the answer to that. All I'm saying is it became a narrative because of him, and that's why we're asking questions about it. So whether or not – I mean, both things could be true. Like,
I'm going to tell you
that,
this.
It could be true that
I'll say this. As a player, I would much rather you question it. You would have questions about
– Right.
Right what? Let me finish.
Right. I would rather – I know what you're going to say. I would rather have you question things that I'm doing from a football perspective than my leadership style. Am I right?
There's never a problem if you say you need to work on, you know, your hand placement and you need to work on getting your feet in the right position. I'm like, yeah, I agree. You have to. And if you say to Jordan Love, you got to work on your footwork and you know you have to work on, you know, escaping out of the pocket and being able to extend plays. Nobody's going to have a problem. You think Jordan Love's going to have a problem with any of that? But the leadership component to this, you're adding a layer. He needs to be a better leader. And the way to be a better leader is by being even more more disciplined, more consistent player.
Well, all I know is that it is a question that Jordan faced a lot of questions about. It is something that his teammates are saying he is making a concerted effort to do things differently, which I think is a good thing, right? If your coach asks you to do something and you do it, that's a good thing. So
I agree.
If Jordan Love is trying to be a more vocal leader and that approach is noticeable with his teammates, then that's a great thing. And it'll make them better if he does that. I just wonder, my point is I wonder if Matt LaFleur, like, my question for you would be, what would be Matt LaFleur's reasoning other than telling the truth for saying that? Like, he put it out there for all of us after the season. Like, it was a flat out, it was not about leadership that he was being asked about. It was, what does Jordan need to do better next season? And that was his answer. And so when you make that your answer, that's what makes me wonder, you know, is that what he wanted the conversation to be? Did he want to put that public pressure on him to be better about it? That's the part I don't quite understand. And I don't have a good answer for you on it.
Okay. Not me either.
Hopefully we have lots of good answers in trivia, which Tausch and Hunter are going to play next. Hunter, what's the category and which caller would you like?
Well, of course, it's the weekend recap trivia. Let's go.
No, Gerald Ford?
No, Jesse, again, I think I got shadow banned from trivia. Jesse hasn't outwardly said that I can't, but he hasn't allowed me to write a trivia question in a while.
Oh, okay. So the sports weekend recap, the Brewers, I can't read the question, so maybe I shouldn't say anything. What caller would you like?
Since the Brewers have won 7 in a row, let's go caller number 7.
All right, caller 7 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 7 right now plays trivia after Tausch tells us about Coors Light.
Oh, you know it. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win, a graduation, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. It's brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Tausch and Hunter play trivia next. Caller 7, 844-770-3776. Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Welcome back into Wildy and Tausch. Jason, I think, has become an Uber driver going to pick up his family. I don't even know where his kids were, if they went on another vacation without him. He never really specified that, but he is going to be back here in a little bit. But we have trivia. And Hunter, I know we're disappointed you didn't write your Gerald Ford stuff or any other presidential trivia, but we are excited because still that great gift package from our friends at Vortex Golf. And Tim, correct, in Madison is our contestant today. Good morning, Tim.
Morning.
How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Hunter, do we have big voice guy, or do you have to be big voice guy to tell what Tim is trying to get, which is this great gift package from our friends at Vortex?
Oh, we've got the big voice guy right here.
Oh, he's back. Let's hear it.
Or I guess not. There was nothing
All
there.
All right,
never
we
mind.
Don't.
But
okay, well, we'll hear it later.
It's a prize package from Vortex Golf. Didn't know that wasn't there.
All right, good stuff. All right, Tim, hopefully that your trivia goes better than this. And here we go. Golfer Scottie Scheffler won his third PGA Tour event since May 4th yesterday at the Memorial. Entering today, which Major League Baseball team has also won three times in that same amount? Is it the Colorado Rockies, Chicago White Sox, or no joke answer here? Just a reminder from Hunter to Tausch to put his lid on his Quick Trip coffee during the show. Smart, smart.
What were the first two choices?
The White Sox or the Rockies?
I know the White Sox have been bad, but I think they've been doing all right lately. I'm going to say the White Sox.
No, the Colorado Rockies have not gotten to 10 wins yet. I think we're 2 months plus into the season. The fact that Scottie Scheffler, who plays golf, and you can only win once a week, has the same amount of wins as the Colorado Rockies do is, I think the Rockies need to be relegated, but that's a story for another day. So, unfortunately, that is incorrect. Hunter, go ahead with question two.
Question number two. Which player was named the MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals after the Indiana Pacers eliminated the New York Knicks in Game 6 on Saturday night? Was it Tyrese Halliburton?
Pascal Siakam.
Nicely done.
Way to go.
Boy, that was fun to see. That was fun to see when Halliburton thought he won. And by the way, probably should have won the player and the MVP for that series. He walked up and had to do that kind of whoa flinch back when Pascal Siakam got it. So well done there, Tim. Let's finish strong with LPGA Tour golfer Maya Stark won the Women's U.S. Open played at Erin Hills this weekend. She is a native of which European country? Is she Swiss? Is she a Swede? Or is she a Scottish?
Not much of a golfer.
Tough question.
I'm going to say she's a Swede.
You nailed it. Well done. I would not have gotten that. I had no clue. I did know that golf was out at Erin Hills. Great golf course. Awesome that we had another big championship out there. Hopefully we get some other big ones coming back. But you got two out of three, Tim. So you'll get three out of the possible four entries. The rare get the first one wrong, get the last two right combo, and you're eligible to win this fantastic package from Vortex Golf on Friday. Tim, thanks for joining us, as always.
Thank you. Love you guys. I love you guys.
You bet. Yeah, that was funny when Pascal Siakam got that MVP. I watched some of the game. By the way, Reggie Miller. Matt LaPay was getting after me a little bit. He's calling me an old curmudgeon. You can't have the guy doing color analysis. It's like if Wisconsin's winning and I'm somehow fortunate to be like on Big Ten Network doing the game, I shouldn't be up there announcing the game for a national audience when obviously I want Wisconsin to win. So I felt like that was a little I don't know what you do different. He was way too Indiana pro heavy. And then he's handing out the award after. I didn't like any of it. I just didn't. And that makes me a curmudgeon. I'm a curmudgeon.
Aren't there two different ways? Because, like, Kirk Herbstreit went to Ohio State. He does a bunch of the Ohio State games. Like, and
he
he's
does.
Fine. Or,
yeah, maybe I'm just not a Reggie. Maybe I'm just not a Reggie fan. He's complaining. Guy goes up for a layup, and he wants him to call an offensive foul. He got hacked. And Reggie Miller would flail around, shooting threes, kicking his legs out. I didn't like it. I thought it was too. He is the greatest player in the history of Indiana basketball. The Indiana Pacers. He is the GOAT of Indiana Pacers basketball, and he has a big affinity, and he loves, and he should. It's a big part of his life. I just felt like you put him in a position where he's not going to win, and it. I don't think I was the only one. I think I was probably harsh, but I think I was fair with my critique on that. I'll also be fair when we will be playing a little game of Where's Wildy? We will do that next on Wildy and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
Where's Wilby? He's right here. We don't need to play Where's Wilde. I'm here now.
Where's Wilde?
Brought to you by Vortex Golf. Range finders you can bet on. We still don't have Where's Big Voice
Wildy's?
Guy.
Where's Wilde's? Where's Wilde's brought to you by Vortex Golf?
Not no, too. But I wanted Good. To give them an extra pop after the way that unfolded because yeah. I was listening.
Yeah, didn't know that wasn't there anymore.
It wasn't great.
So So Jesse lost Big Voice Guy for Vortex Golf, but the button is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't know
Which,
that.
Yeah, if you're great. If you're not Jesse, you don't know that the button doesn't work. So, sorry, Hunter. I'm sorry that we put you in that position. All right, Tausch, have you gotten your assignment?
What's my assignment?
Who you're playing with. You're going to leave in about a minute here to go play in the Pro-Am. You still don't know
like
your partner?
Minutes yet. No, I'll find out. I'll let you know tomorrow who it is.
Okay. Well, you've got that coming up, but we're going to – actually, you're going to stick around for a little while longer. What am I doing? We'll get to the 11 o'clock hour, which will include some conversation back on the Packers of Elgton Jenkins and where that situation stand. So that is how we will kick off the 11 o'clock hour, which we will do in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.